Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Learn Chinese Insights podcast, now brought to you by ChineseTrack.com, a complete progressive online course teaching Mandarin Chinese from absolute beginners to intermediate level. Upcoming episodes will show on this podcast feed or from our new YouTube channel. You can find a link in our show notes. Every week we interview expats from around the world to find out how they learned Chinese and how they're using it in daily life. So in today's episode, I'm happy to have a good friend of mine, Ed Gonzalez. Hi, Ed.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for coming. So before we get started, Ed, why don't you give us just a short introduction in Chinese?
Sure.
Tell us where you came from, what you're doing here, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, sounds good. 大家好，我叫艾迪，我是一个墨西哥加拿大人，然后我来台湾大概二十年左右，然后我在这里快开一个墨西哥餐厅，对，然后我也有一个podcast，然后我英中文叫什么直播，对，然后我没有去过学过中文。可是我学了是因为我跟客人爱聊天，对，大概就是这样。
All right, very interesting.
Yeah.
So if you didn't catch it, he's obviously speaking Chinese, but yet he said he hasn't learned Chinese. So yeah. How does that work? So before, let's go back. So obviously you came from Canada to Taiwan. So what made you choose Taiwan? How did you end up here?
Okay, so I've always wanted to come to Asia, right? And when a few things kind of didn't work out in Canada, I was going to be an RCMP officer, and sort of I got to the final interview, and by the end I was a little bit too young, so they said I needed to get a little bit more life experience. And I was actually looking out here as well, and I thought, well, this is going to make my decision easy for me. I will come to Asia for maybe 1 or 2 years. And the reason I chose Taiwan was I figured if I can learn another language, Chinese, Mandarin would be a good one to learn. I think a little more useful than maybe Korean or Japanese. And so that narrowed it down to Taiwan and China. And China at the time was, I didn't know anyone that went there. And I didn't really know much about it. Internet obviously was around. It wasn't the dark ages, but it was, yeah, there wasn't much info. It was just like, okay, come and check it out. Come and join. But I have had a friend that came to Taichung here for a couple of years, and he was from my hometown. Not really a close friend, but just somebody from a small town that I knew. And he said, yeah, it's great. He actually regretted going back to Canada. He loved it so much over there. So I thought, okay, come here for 1 or 2 years. And yeah, maybe I'll go back and reapply for the RCMP.
All right. So you come to Taiwan, and I assume you didn't speak any Chinese when you got here. So what was the journey as far as learning Chinese goes? How did that go?
Okay, so for me, yes, I speak Spanish with my family. My family's from Mexico. And of course, being born and raised in Canada, I speak English. And, you know, when I came out here, people would say, you know, learning a third language is easy. And I'll be honest, the English and the Spanish did not help at all. They didn't help the Chinese learning. But for me, being out here, I thought, you know, I really want to learn it. If I'm going to be here for a while, I want to learn it. But I was never really a good student. So what I would do is I would sort of mirror people. We kind of do like sort of a mirror, like a mimic slash mock type thing in Mexico. We like to do impersonations and stuff like that in my family. So that's how I kind of learned my Chinese. When I would hear a sentence, I would kind of repeat it and kind of sort of mimic that, kind of mock that as well. And that was how I learned my sentences. I didn't really learn sort of vocabulary words. And that was kind of, I think, one of the best ways for me to learn it, being not a great student. Yeah.
So this is quite interesting. So you're saying you would hear a sentence, yeah, and then you would try to mimic it.
That's right. Yeah.
So how would you know which? So, I mean, if people are talking to you and you don't understand, yeah, anything they're saying,
So yeah. How do you know which sentence to focus on, and how does that work?
So I skipped a step there, I think. What happened was in between jobs, I was working at a cram school, and I wanted to change to another one. I finished my contract, and the current school really wanted me to stay, and so they blacklisted me, right? And they told, you know, they reported to the government that I was, you know, a bad person, and you know, kids didn't like me, et cetera. And so when I went through the process with the new school, the school said we did all the paperwork and we got rejected because, you know, your last school basically blacklisted you. And so I said, okay, well, I didn't think that was a real thing, but apparently it is. I don't know if it's still like that now, but this was 20 years ago or so. So yeah, it was pretty bad. And at the time it was like, okay, do the, you know, do the visa runs, or, you know, give up the dream, leave Taiwan, or, you know, go to a school like a university sort of thing that would, you know, sort of sponsor your student ARC until, you know, you got it worked out. So I went to a school, and yeah, I mean, I figured if I'm paying for this, I'll at least go, you know, just to learn the first little bit. And that's where I learned the ba pa ma fa, where they call the juing fu hao, right? So yeah, I went to learn that. And for me, that was when it sort of clicked for me. That was where I was able to take a word or a sentence and kind of break the sounds down and actually understand what it was. Because before that, it was like if I were to go to like, you know, learn an Arabic language now, it would sound like gibberish. But at the time, yeah, I couldn't understand any Chinese. But after learning that, then, yeah, things really clicked for me. And I would hear something, and then I would kind of like mimic it, like memorize that. And I would go ask somebody, I'm like, hey, what does this mean? And they would say, well, your pronunciation is very good. But actually, I was just kind of mimicking what people were saying. And when you learn so many sentences that way, for me anyways, I was able to kind of stack them one on top of another. And then that's kind of how I learned the language. I think it's the slow way, but I'm here, and yeah, that's how I learn.
So you would hear a lot of Chinese that you didn't understand, but then yeah. If you hear the same like expression or sentence over and over, you would think, oh, this must be important.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
So you had mentioned this Burpa Mufa. So that's basically the Taiwanese alphabet system that they use here in Taiwan.
That's right.
I think like kids, kids learn that to learn reading and when they're practicing.
Exactly. Yeah.
So normally, foreigners go through pinyin.
That's right.
But in your case, you didn't learn pinyin at all. You just went for the Taiwanese system, which seems to have worked out.
Yeah, exactly. I think for me, it sort of enabled me to be able to break down a word. You know, I wouldn't understand what it meant, but I would at least hear the word instead of it just being gibberish. And yeah, it was good for me. I would learn a word like that. And if I'd hear something over and over, I would kind of grab that word and I would ask somebody that I knew. And then when they would tell me what it was, it would kind of float around in my brain for a while. I'd be like, when I hear this one again, I'm going to nail it. And when that word would pop up, that would kind of like solidify that word for me in my brain. And then it's like, boom, that's in my vocabulary. And yeah, that's how I learned it. Yeah.
So you start with the most frequently used words and phrases and then slowly work out from there.
Exactly. Because I did get a book on, you know, studying Chinese and stuff like that. And of course, you know, the ni hao and all that is, you know, chapter one. But after that, they start to teach you a bunch of different things that I didn't really use at all. I always thought, you know, for somebody to come here, the most important things aside from, you know, like the ni hao, xie xie stuff would be the food, and, you know, beef and chicken and pork and meat and you know, vegetables and stuff like that, and how to order food. But that was, I think, chapter 20 or something way down there. So I didn't stay. Yeah, I didn't, you know, do the book in order. And I learned a little bit from the book, but I think being here and talking to people is the best way to learn.
So in this process, did you learn any characters at all, or just listening, speaking?
So for me, I learned some of the basic characters at the beginning, and I was able to write them a little bit at the beginning. But, you know, when you, if you have a kid here, the child will go to school, and they will write their characters like every day. And, you know, that kind of burns it into their memory and stuff like that. So for me, you know, when I went through that, I did a little bit of that at the beginning. So I can, I don't know, I could probably write a couple of them now, but that's about it. It's been a long time. And yeah, when you don't use it, you lose it. And yeah, so right now I would say, no, I don't think I can write anything. Maybe my name. I forget that one sometimes too.
So you slowly over the years, you developed your Chinese to kind of a conversational level.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you mentioned in the intro that you've since started a Mexican restaurant.
That's right.
So, so being able to speak Chinese, has that helped you along the way with your restaurant and what you do there?
Yeah, so definitely. I feel like if you learn the language when you're in a country, you learn the main language, you're able to sort of plug into like the community, plug in with people a lot better, you know. So for me, you know, when I have foreign customers that come in, we speak English. If I have like Latino customers, Mexican customers, we speak Spanish. And also if we have Taiwanese customers or Chinese customers, we will speak, you know, speak Chinese together, Mandarin. And you know, I think you feel you get more of a connection with people, you know, kind of you put them at ease, you know, they look at you and sometimes like if you go to a bank or something, people will look at you and they're panicking. They're like, oh my God, I can't speak English. My English is so bad. I got really bad English from school, blah, blah, blah. And I would come in and I would be, no, I speak Chinese, and people kind of, you can see like the relief in their eyes. So when they come into a restaurant, yeah, sometimes people just want to practice their English. And if I speak Chinese to them, they're, you know, they speak English back to me, then, you know, then I'll just speak English with them because of course that's easier. But yeah, I think people will connect with you more if you learn their language.
I see. Yeah. Now, you mentioned that you also do a podcast right now. So are those interviews done in English or Chinese, or how does that work?
So I would say 90% of them are done in English because it's easier for me. It's my network is more English speaking.
Yeah,
but yeah, there's a percentage of it that's done in Mandarin. And for me, definitely, it helps me improve my Mandarin, my Chinese. It's definitely a lot more difficult to just kind of like, you know, for conversations and stuff like that, it's okay. But to be hosting the conversation and the topics and, you know, running the cameras and the audio and everything and doing it all in Mandarin, it's a little bit, it's a little tougher. Mm-hmm. But I'm the kind of person that just jumps in the deep end, and so we do everything live, and if I mess up, then everybody gets to see it. And yeah, it is what it is. But I think yeah, that helped me a lot when I have to prepare for certain interviews. I'll do the English, and then I'll get it translated by my wife, and then it's four lines English, then there's the translation, then there's the opinion of the translation my wife will read, so I'll write out opinion, and then under that I have the topic sort of question in like a really dumb, simplified version of Chinese to where I can look at it and be like, okay, and oh, this is the next thing. You know, what about this? What about that? Yeah. And so doing that forces me to learn more vocabulary. Like there's a lot of different things that I've had to learn through that. And some stuff that's like not really taught in school. There's one called a suanming. And I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I think so. Suanming. So for me to remember that, is like a sour, you know, name or something like that. Like that's how my brain works. So I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, suanming. So that means hater. Okay, so that's not something that you learn, you know, vocabulary you would learn in a class. It's just something that you learn, you know, chatting. Yeah.
So when you're interviewing guests in Chinese, you'll kind of do research into the topic that you'll be discussing.
Yes.
And kind of prepare. This is the vocabulary that I'll need to use.
That's right, exactly. Like influencer, you know, Wang Hong, right? Like I would have to learn, I learned that word because of my podcast, you know, hater. There's a lot of different words that I learn prepping for the podcast, but there's also words that and I'm supposed to say and then, you know, sort of in the heat of the moment my brain will use like the five words to describe it instead of actually using the one word, because like in well, with any language, if you know the exact vocabulary, you can just be like, bam, get to the point. But if you don't, your brain will, mine anyways, will just kind of like go around and describe, and then it'll come around and it's like, okay, boom, I got my point across, sort of the long way. Yeah.
So I think the process that you go through even early on, this mirroring technique and whatnot, I think it helps you learn more colloquial or, you know, street words and the stuff that you would never learn in a textbook or anything.
Definitely. For me, and because, you know, we do the mimic, mirror, mock sort of method, I'll pull out sentences and people will just be like, oh my gosh, you sound just like a Taiwanese. And I'm like, well, I know that's sort of purposeful. Right. You know, sometimes we'll be in like a Costco or something. It'll be packed or something like that. And there'll be like a big lineup and everybody's just kind of like, you know, lining up and, you know, minding their own business. And I'll like say something in Chinese just to kind of, you know, troll people a little bit. Uh-huh. I'll be like, yao pai doi, you know, pai doi, you know, yao pai doi. And people are just like, who said that? I'm like, I don't know. Just kind of like looking around, just stupid things like that once in a while, just to kind of keep my sanity living in a country where I can't really read, you know, I'm illiterate and stuff, basically being out here. So yeah, it keeps me entertained.
Right. So that's, I guess, some of the benefits outside. You said talking with your customers and then the people you're interviewing. Sure. Yeah. Just for day-to-day life, it kind of helps.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Integrate yourself.
Yeah. And I get a lot of customers coming in and, you know, they're eating and they're drinking and they're bringing like a sort of maybe their boss, you know, or they're bringing, you know, some of their friends, or they'll bring some of their, you know, foreign friends. And when you are sort of like a restaurant owner, I'm bad for this part because I can't remember anybody's name, but I'm really good with faces, you know? So I'll be like, oh, I know this guy. So I'll be like, hey, what's going on? And then they will come, they'll bring their friends and they'll be like, oh, my buddy here, he's also from Mexico, or he's from Nicaragua, or he's from Canada or from the States. And then we'll just start chatting and he'll be like, oh, how do you know this guy? I'm like, oh yeah, you know, he's been coming for years and stuff like that. And, you know, we're good friends, but sometimes I'm not really sure, you know, who it is, but I'm just, you know, I just try to kind of be friendly with everyone. And when you do that in Chinese, then people are like, wow, this is great. They have a really good, a good experience and a good sort of an atmosphere vibe. And yeah, it works pretty well for me.
Mm-hmm. And do you use any technology when it comes to like translating and just in your day-to-day living stuff that helps you in your life here?
I started using Google Translate because Google Translate was the best thing, I think, for a while.
Yeah.
And in the last, I think, I don't know how long it's been, maybe year and a half, I switched over to ChatGPT because that's
for translations.
Yeah, for translations. That seems to be more accurate for me. And like I'll use that for subtitles and stuff like that. And yeah, it's again, it's not 100%, but yeah, I try to do that. And yeah, it helps me a lot. I also use ChatGPT to help me with sort of headlines and hooks and stuff like that for my YouTube channel, topics and stuff like that. So before, in the very few years ago when I started the podcast, I would have to come up with everything on my own and research. It took a lot longer. And now, you know, I'll come up with a bit of a theme and then I'll kind of put it in there and it'll give me the English and the Chinese and the stuff that I don't know. So yeah, it's definitely, it's helped me a lot. I really would like to implement it more in the restaurant, but, you know, getting there slowly.
So in your podcast, you have subtitles in Chinese and English?
I try to, yeah. So what's happening is I've tried a few different softwares and some have been accurate, some have not. And right now I'm working with a software that is making it, it's like 95% there. And ideally I'll have both, yeah, because I do have a lot of, you know, foreigner sort of expat people. If I go through my analytics, there's a lot of people from the States actually. And funny thing is, for some reason, there's a lot in Spain. I don't know. We don't use any Spanish in the podcast, but it's just, yeah, it's kind of random. But definitely I do, of course, have a lot of people from Taiwan watching it, but I think with no subtitles, it definitely, it's tougher for them. So I'm trying to.
Yeah. Even when they watch Chinese, they still like to have subtitles, right?
Yeah, even if they can understand. And then I've tried even like Google, what is it? Sorry, YouTube has like an automatic auto translation thing.
Right.
That seems to not, you know, be used as much, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just doesn't seem that people use that as much. So yeah, so definitely when I can get that, I feel I can take it to the next level. That's the plan.
Yeah, that's a good kind of a language learning tool where when you can see, you'll know how to say it, let's say in English, and now you see the Chinese underneath. So you're like, oh, all right, that's interesting. That's how you'd say it.
Exactly. And
especially, I guess, for the ones that are in Chinese, then you're working the other way around.
Exactly.
You see the Chinese, and then you look at the English, and you might find different ways to say something that you hadn't thought of and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's funny because like I said, some of the simple Chinese I can read, and if you watch any movies and they have Chinese subtitles, when you know somebody's sad or whatever, and a person comes up to them and says, you know, are you okay or something like that, they'll be like, "Ni hai hao ma," right? In you know, the Chinese will say, "Oh, ni hai," all the time, right? Or "Ni hai hao ba," right? Those two things. And so I actually use that. I don't know if it's used very much here, but I say that to like my staff. I'm like, "Hey, how's it going?" You know, and they're just like, "Yeah, I'm good." So right. I think, I don't know if it's 100%, but yeah, I've definitely learned some that way as well. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds familiar. Some of those things don't really make sense in translation, because even after that, how you like, are, "Hi, how," sounds like you're not very good.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Why would you ask them?
Exactly. But, and some of the things here, people, the culture is a bit different for sure, too. And people don't ask that very much here. So it's very probably a tough thing to translate from a movie. Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting. Yeah. So just to wrap up, looking back at your journey of, you know, starting from learning Chinese to where you are now, if you were to go back, is there anything you wish you had done differently or a more efficient way of learning that's worked for you?
I think the way that I learned it is a really good way. It's a very slow way. For somebody, you know, who's been here for 20 years, it's okay. I think it's kind of like a one, you know, improve yourself, you know, 1% all, the, you know, every day, every week, whatever. But I think that's a little too slow, because I do have friends that came and they did like, you know, courses, you know, 1 or 2 year courses, and they speak like super fluent and they can read. So I think that I should have probably kept going with the characters and then it would be, I don't know how big of a difference it would make in my life, but yeah, it's a nice skill to have unlocked, you know, to be able to read.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and we'll put a link to your podcast so people can check you out there.
All right. Thank you, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Don't forget to subscribe and follow the channel, and looking forward to some more great podcasts.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Take care. Bye, guys.